From CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, this is UBC Arts on Air. I'm your host, Irene Dell. Each week, we feature the ideas and stories of students and staff within the Faculty of Arts at the University of British Columbia. Today, the director Stephen Heatley from the theater department about to launch an original production of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night at the Freddie Wood Theater on September 25th. But first, a sneak peek at a scene from the new production. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Thank you. So I know it's an extraordinarily busy week for you. In fact, I can't believe you're really here 2 days before. What'd you do last night, Stephen?
We had our dress rehearsal last night that started at 7 o'clock. And then we had notes and some more notes and... I was at the theater until about 10 after 11 last night.
So at this stage, pardon the pun, in the preparation, are you still making changes?
Oh, absolutely. We actually did a rehearsal in the rehearsal hall yesterday afternoon and made some adjustments then. What's interesting to me is that as we get past the, oh my God, I just have to remember what to do, where to go, and who I'm speaking to, parts of the work with the actors, is that we can actually start to recognize where things are working really well and where they're just working okay. And that's what I'm finding right now is that we're into the fifth week of rehearsal. Well, actually, we're into the sixth week of rehearsal. And we're at a point now where we're really starting to make some finesse style changes. Some things have to do with the energy and the rhythm of what's going on. And so, yes, we're making changes. The lighting design is evolving, and the set design is also evolving. I mean, it's mostly there. But and the first time last night we saw costumes.
When did the actors actually start to prepare for their roles? How long ago?
Well, they were cast about mid-July. They knew they were doing Twelfth Night as of about last March. For one reason or another, we didn't get to the whole casting issue until later in the summer. Well, we like to think of ourselves kind of like the football team in the theater program where... The football team starts to practice before school starts, and so do we. So our rehearsals actually started on the 18th of August, and so we'd had our first run-through before Labor Day.
So I'm curious about the choice of actors for different parts. Do you make that decision, or is there a small team that does it? So I'm going to audition to be in the play. You're going to take one look at me. You're going to hear my voice, and you're going to say, no. Or you're going to say, I could see Ira as such and such. How does that happen?
It's not quite that simple in this this particular project. This one is a dedicated project for the graduating year of the BFA in acting. So they auditioned by the very fact that they were about to enter their graduating year. And we chose the play, actually, for that. This group of 13 actors, so that we felt we could give everybody some kind of an experience, and that that we could massage the the genders of the of the play so that there was a role for everybody. So in we take a lot of things into account. This is the, as I said, is the graduating year. Many of them had roles. Most of them, all of them, had roles in theater at UBC Productions last year. So we're looking at who got more work and who didn't get as much. So we're balancing that in terms of the curriculum and the pedagogy, and also making sure that we can still do the play. And I made a first pass at the casting, and I sent it to my acting colleagues, and they said, well, in this case, they said, sure, go ahead.
Okay, sounds good. But I believe this is the second time you've directed Twelfth Night. Can you describe the differences between the earlier production and this?
Yeah, I did Twelfth Night. Twelfth Night was the first Shakespeare I had ever directed. I'd spent most of my, the sort of the nugget of my career working on new plays. So I did a lot of work with playwrights. So it was actually quite a ways along in my career when I finally was asked to do Shakespeare. And Twelfth Night was the first one I did. I was hired by the Shakespeare on the Saskatchewan Festival. They do a festival in a tent right on the South Saskatchewan River. And the artistic director said, here's the concept. So he actually situated the play and said, now you go ahead and figure out how you want to do it. So his idea was, because it's Twelfth Night, it must have something to do with the Ukrainian community. And must be around Christmas. So, you know, I started digging around into Ukrainian culture and Ukrainian traditions. And, I mean, Twelfth Night is a springtime play. It's not a winter play. So eventually I came up with an idea that I felt would honor this Ukrainian idea. And it was mostly because he wanted to connect with the Ukrainian community, which is quite substantial in Saskatoon. And so we created this this little 1920. Well, the other thing was because there are these people of money, and setting it in the Ukrainian communities in Saskatchewan, they were dirt poor, and I found a little tiny window in the late 1920s when the Ukrainian populations were prosperous. So we set it in 1927. And that was, and it was done in a tent, so it was all landscaped. So at one point, when the Sir Toby and Sir Andrew and Festa are singing, Mariah came out and threw a pail of water at them, and that was fine because it all just went sunk into the grass. And we put Malvolia in a well, and that was his prison. And so that was the version I did in 1990. So it's been a few years since I've
been a few years, but now you're transporting us to the Mardi Gras.
Yes, well, because it's the South, so it's not the issue of Northern Saskatchewan. Mardi Gras is actually, Mardi Gras is a day, but the Mardi Gras festival actually is the festival that takes place between Twelfth Night and Lent. So it seemed to lend itself to this play. And also, I was really interested one of the centers of this play is the tension between those who are interested in hedonism and partying and drinking and those who are in mourning. And I was in New Orleans before I came up with this idea for Twelfth Night, and I was quite taken with the fact that on one street you have this endless party on Bourbon Street and around the French Quarter, and then just two blocks away is one of the most well-known cemeteries in all of the U.S. So the idea of the kind of juxtaposition of partying and death seemed to fit in with New Orleans, and also the whole idea of disguise. And although people aren't necessarily wearing masks in Twelfth Night, there is a whole element of disguise, the way Viola is disguised, and the kind of masks of mourning that Olivia wears and those kind of things. And it seemed to me that that the idea of Mardi Gras in New Orleans actually makes the text resonate, as opposed to trying to put it into a box, which often happens with over conceptualization. I'm going to make this play fit this idea, whether it likes it or not.
Right, right. So there's a kind of excitement and freedom, I think, from what you're saying in the nature of the production. But I want to ask you, are you particularly drawn to what I might call spectacles, in the sense of large plays with large cast, big setting? I'm thinking Caucasian Chalk Circle, which you did. Now you're doing Twelfth Night. Do you find something thrilling about the range, as opposed to a Pinter play with two characters?
Yeah. I mean, I, as I said earlier, I cut my teeth on the on new Canadian work, and by the nature of our funding, I guess, everything's small. So, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the work working with playwrights and kind of birthing plays. But when I came to UBC 15 years ago, the option to do something on a larger canvas, I mean, I had done some other Shakespeare's in a outdoor setting in Edmonton before I came here, but the opportunity to try out some of these, to try my hand at some of these larger classics was really appealing and really tempting. So since I've been here, I had got to do a Brecht, I got to do a Chekhov. I've done, this is my third Shakespeare, and I did Giraudoux. So the kind of playwrights that I wasn't able to produce as a freelancer or working in the not-for-profit sector, just because we didn't have the resources to be able to do them. So I'm mixed. I feel a mixed media. This past summer, I worked in a small theater just north of Saskatoon again, and we did a Norm Foster play that has six characters in it. So it was fun to go back. It's fun to go back and forth.
Tell me something about the dangers of being a director.
Well, we're never really satisfied. So, you know, people say, "How is it going?" And I want to say, well, it's perfect, it's beautiful, and yet I'm thinking there's still some more things to do. So that's one of the dangers. On the other side of that, there's the danger of falling in love with your own work. So I kind of go, oh, that's so clever, it's so clever. And often the things that I've looked at and gone, that's so clever, are really the things that are getting in the way, impeding the movement of the action or the forwarding of the narrative and those kind of things. I sometimes blame myself for everything, and you know, blame is not a very useful thing. It's not useful to blame myself. It's also not useful to blame the actors or the designers or the stage management. It's let's work it out. So I am a director who tends to take it on rather than letting it be. So that's a danger.
Did you at the beginning want to be an actor? Am I talking to someone who is on the stage and who's now looking at the stage?
No, I was an actor for a very brief period of time, but I think I was smart enough to realize that there are enough mediocre actors in the world, at least when I was 23, and that I actually had a passion for and an interest in the bigger picture. And I think I really realized that when I was doing something just after I'd graduated. I was helping out by acting in an undergraduate directing project at the university where I had graduated from, and realized I wasn't doing the job of the actor. I was helping the director and really just getting in the way of her work. So it was at that point when I realized that I really was interested in the bigger picture, the bigger narrative, and that's, I can tell with the graduate students that I work with, the ones that are really, they're really suited to the director's chair, because they are interested in the big picture.
What haven't you directed that you would like to direct?
Well, I really want to do Measure for Measure at some point in my career. That's one of the things. And I'm also, I got to do the Cherry Orchard here at UBC 10 years ago, And I really got a taste for the joys of Chekhov. And so and I teach a unit on Chekhov every year to the BFA actors, and it reignites my the Chekhovian flame. So I'd like to do some more Chekhov. The Seagull, but we've just done it here, so or Three Sisters.
So my final question is, have you written your own play?
I have co-written. I wrote a play when I was an undergraduate that I put into a competition, the Ottawa Little Theatre's National Playwriting Competition, and I won third prize. This is back, you know, when I was just starting out. Since then, I've co-written a few things with friends. When I was artistic director of Theatre Network in Edmonton, I commissioned a few pieces that I was also involved in. The Other Side of the Pole, which is a Christmas musical, has been done. Well, we got a royalty check. It was for it about 2 months ago, and it was first produced in 1982. So it's nice to have that kind of passive income. Although the checks are never very big.
They're $4.20.
$4.20 right. Divided by three of us who wrote it. But yeah, I've written a few things, and I was involved a couple of years ago in a project with a musical friend of mine. It was more fashioning a performance piece that I actually performed in along with him. And we took it to the Fringe here in Vancouver and the Fringe in Edmonton. And it's actually devised for performing in small spaces, so in living rooms, essentially. We thought we'd try it out at the Fringe, and I think it actually worked better in living rooms. We did a little travel tour around. We performed in a very large house in Mount Royal in Calgary, which we could get 40 people into, and that seemed to be the ideal place for it. So, yes, a little bit of writing, a little bit of performing still.
And, of course, most of your theater activity recently has been here at UBC. That's and on Point Grey. What's your sense of theater activity in Vancouver? Do you find it vibrant and experimental? Do you find it conservative and limited? How would you generalize?
We have a really, really, really wide range of theater activity here. I mean, what I'm realizing is that we have a very fertile indie theater kind of movement that's happening. And I know about it primarily because a lot of our graduates are kind of key figures in it, both grad students and undergrads. But I think there's a lot of really great things happening here. I haven't lived in a lot of places. Edmonton had quite a vibrant community. I think Vancouver certainly rivals that vibrancy. And we have such a wide variety of kinds of work here. It's an exciting place to work in the theater.
It sounds fabulous. I'm really pleased that you're able to join us today, Stephen. My guest, Professor Stephen Heatley, director of UBC's new production of Twelfth Night, which opens on September 25th and runs until October 11th. Faculty and staff, as well as alumni, are always two for one. And stay tuned for new interviews with exciting individuals from the